WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is headlining the G20 summit in India and urging nations to step up in the fight against climate change.
The climate crisis is worsening dramatically, but the collective response is lacking in ambition, credibility, and urgency.
Climate change is just one of the issues being discussed at the summit.
The president and prime minister reasserting that the U.S. and India have a lot to work on in terms of military, educational, technological agreements. Points out, for example, the Indian military planning to buy some more hardware from the United States, a bunch of university agreements that are now in place, and even the United States supporting India's call for it to earn a permanent seat on the U.N. Security Council.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe attending the summit. The ongoing heat wave in Texas is putting the state's power grid to the test. More from CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Across Dallas-Fort Worth, businesses are boiling as they try to serve customers in the triple-digit temp, including the Ivy Tavern, which uses fans and water misters to keep its patio space cool.
Is just something as simple as having the air moving, can that make a difference in the amount of people who come knowing you have fans?
Oh, most definitely. If the fans aren't on and people are out here, they will complain.
In Jacksonville, Florida, a memorial service was held today for one of the victims of a racially motivated shooting.
I'm Peter King. It's been nearly 2 weeks since the shootings at a Dollar General store in a predominantly black neighborhood. The Reverend Al Sharpton's eulogy for Angela Carr focused on Florida gun laws that allowed the shooter to buy weapons legally. Sharpton addressing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
You're not responsible for haters. But you're responsible if you help to arm haters.
The gunman's assault weapon had a swastika on it, and while he killed himself, he also left behind a trail of writing that made it clear he hated black people. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
A special grand jury report has been released in the Georgia election interference case. It recommended 39 people be charged, including South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Ultimately, he was not charged, and he maintains he did nothing wrong.
I never suggested anybody set aside the election. I never said go find votes. I never said anything other than trying to find out how the mail-in balloting system worked. And I was really confused, and I still am, quite frankly.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is running for re-election in 2024. We asked political analyst Larry Sabato for his take.
It's good for the Democratic Party. It's good for the House Democratic Caucus. She could add a lot without an official position.
Pelosi is 83. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Every piece of Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa Falls Police Department has announced 32-year-old Joshua Mogo pled guilty to charges of first-degree intentional homicide, burglary armed with a dangerous weapon, possession of a firearm as a convicted felon, and violating a restraining order. Mogo was accused of shooting his ex-girlfriend in her home on Birch Street in Chippewa Falls. He turned himself in roughly 2 hours after the shooting, and his sentencing is scheduled for January 8, 2024. According to a Wisconsin Examiner report, Democratic lawmakers in Wisconsin are proposing a 10-bill collection to enshrine workers' rights in state law. State Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point spoke on the bills at a press conference, saying, quote, as our state continues to grapple with a historic worker shortage, putting forward pro-worker policies is not only the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
On all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. Very, very important story out of Georgia. Out of Georgia, Fannie Willis's prosecution, Donald Trump, total of 19 defendants. The grand jury report that set up those prosecutions was just released. And it's a fascinating document. Donald Trump fought tooth and nail to keep it from getting released. Sometimes he goes, oh, I want to know jurors' names and all this, basically so he can have his supporters harass them and threaten them. When it came time to releasing the report itself, no, he fought it tooth and nail. And now we know why he fought it tooth and nail. It turned out the grand jury did one heck of a job. It listened to a lot of witnesses, as you know. And believe it or not, it didn't only recommend prosecution of the 19 people that Fannie Willis prosecuted. It recommended prosecution of 20 more than that. She ended up prosecuting about half the people that the grand jury recommended. Now, let me just talk very briefly about how that works. She goes before the grand jury. The defense lawyers don't get to argue. She or one of her assistants goes in, questions witnesses, sets up the witnesses, and then they close the door. And then the grand jury sits there and decides if anybody should be prosecuted, who is it? What was fascinating about this report was the people that they recommended be prosecuted, the grand jury, after listening to testimony, listening to their testimony, and what Fannie Willis didn't prosecute. And I want to say that I'm going to conclude by saying I support Fannie Willis 100%. She is an outstanding, outstanding prosecutor, has a lot of guts, one of the best in the country in any event. Here are some of the people, not all of the 20, that she didn't prosecute, even though the grand jury said they should be prosecuted if she agreed. Because the way it works is they recommend it. She has to decide which ones to prosecute. And then they recommend charges against each of them. And she has to recommend which or all of those charges to use. Well, here are some of the people that so far she's not prosecuted. Lindsey Graham, Kelly Loeffler, you remember that name? She was a senator down there until she lost her seat. David Perdue, the other Republican senator, lost his seat. Cleta Mitchell, she was a lawyer who was into it up to her ears. Boris Epstein, he was another lawyer for Trump, into it up to his ears. Those are five of the 20, the best known ones of the 20. Now, let me tell you who Fannie Willis did prosecute. She prosecuted Donald Trump, the big kahuna. She prosecuted Moby Dick, the great white whale. That's who she prosecuted. She prosecuted Rudy Giuliani. It was outstanding. Mark Meadows. She went off the real biggies. Now, people have been speculating for the last 24 hours why she did some and not others. And let me tell you something. She's a district attorney in one county in one state. She's not an attorney general. She's not Merrick Garland, attorney general of the United States. And she's not Jack Smith, who's a special counsel who Merrick Garland designated. She has a certain amount of resources. If you prosecute 40 people, 39 or 40 people, instead of 19, 19 was a lot. A lot of people said it took a lot of guts for her to do that. How many she's supposed to prosecute? Well, these people came out. Lindsey Graham is a sneaky little son of a gun. He is a sneaky little son of a gun. Lindsey Graham, you remember, has ratted back and forth pro-Trump, anti-Trump, pro-John McCain, anti-John McCain. He's ratted back and forth five or six, seven times without an ounce of shame. He originally, when Trump ran, was dismissive and insulting about Trump. Trump wins. Trump attacks McCain. Lindsey Graham cuts McCain loose. Then there's January 6th. Lindsey Graham says enough's enough, and he trashes Trump, thinking he's dead. Then Trump shows well in the polls. Lindsey Graham goes back. He is a sneaky little toad, and that is what he is. And he comes out, and he says, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I was just confused. This is what he says. I don't know why the grand jury thought I should have been prosecuted. I don't know why they did that. I didn't do anything wrong. Kelly Loeffler is the one that was she was appointed senator, and she didn't hold her seat. And David Perdue ran against John Ossoff, remember? He ran twice. And actually, no, the second time he got a full term, it was Kelly Loeffler tried it. Both of them should have been prosecuted. Both of them should have been prosecuted. Lindsey Graham should have been prosecuted. Cleta Mitchell was the lawyer who is into it up to her ears, as I said, so is Boris Epstein and a lot of these others. But if you are one district attorney in one county getting death threats against you and your family, getting paid TV for millions of dollars in your jurisdiction, it would be as if a DA in Milwaukee suddenly had a full-blown set of TV ads every night, sometimes two in one episode, you know, one half hour on the news, hitting her personally, hitting her prior relationships, who she dated. This is disgusting. This should have been shut down. Trump has used a series of conduits. He's used a series of middlemen. Well, I don't know anything about that PAC that did it, but your other PAC gave them money. Well, I don't know a lot about my other PAC. It has your name on it. Well, I don't know. I don't know anybody there. You see what's happening? Fannie Willis has more guts than anybody I've ever heard of among lawyers. She really has. She goes after Trump. She goes after Giuliani. She goes after Mark Meadows. She goes after the biggies. She didn't go after Lindsey Graham, Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue. Well, she can only go after so many people. Jack Smith only went after Donald Trump because he wanted to make sure that that case, if possible, goes to trial before the election. If he had gone after, he could have gone after every fake elector in the country. You know how many? There were about 98. Every fake elector. They'd be trying that case 3 years from now. He's relying on other people to go against the fake elector. The Attorney General of Michigan is going against the fake electors. Fannie Willis, some of these defendants are fake electors. It's time for the attorney generals in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in Nevada, and there are even some in New Mexico. Go after them. You are a prosecutor just like Jack Smith. You're statewide. You're not even like poor Fannie Willis, who also, by the way, she gave a very, very poignant talk one time, and you could tell it got to her emotionally, the death threats and the insults. And she said, I've been called the N-word more than anybody else that I've ever heard of in American history. A question I have, we've posed this question before, why aren't these people prosecuted for doing this? Are you telling me that what, the CIA and the FBI can't trace the call? They can't find out who did it? What's going on, and this is very, very sad, one of the threats against Fannie Willis that came in, and this was just revealed yesterday, is somebody who put in a screed against her. It was a whole paragraph that said that, quote, someone disguised as a postal worker will come to your house someday. He will suddenly take off his uniform, pull out a gun, and shoot you. And then it went on in very disgusting fashion, unsuitable for radio, about what he would do to her physically. It had the N-word all over the place. Now, let's take that one. What, the CIA and the FBI can't find who sent that? You can't prosecute him? You can have somebody other than Fannie Willis prosecute him because she'd be an interested witness. Have a special counsel prosecute him. Send him to jail for 10 years. Send him to jail for 10 years. What's happening in this country, and I am a huge First Amendment proponent. I represented the media for a long time in my legal practice, but there is a line you can't cross. If you threaten to kill or harm the President of the United States, it's a felony, and they will prosecute that. But it's also true of a DA. It's also true of a senator or congressman. And when they do something like that, and this is the starkest example, the defense, and everybody said, oh, I'm worried about the First Amendment defense. It's like the attorney-client privilege. Yes, there's attorney-client privilege, but there's a fraud exception. If you and your attorney are planning a financial fraud, what you said to each other is not confidential anymore. If what you say is that you hope or somebody is going to kill a district attorney disguised as a postal worker, and here is the gun, and here's what I'm going to do to you, and he goes, well, that's just for, you know, I'm a novelist. Yeah, I was just writing I get it. I was just writing an outline for a story. That's it. Hey, that's why we have juries. You can say anything you want. You can get right on in front of that jury and you go, hey, suddenly I'm a short story writer. That's ridiculous. Threatening physical violence and then trying to wiggle out. That's essentially saying they can say anything they want. Sometimes they say, I'm not going to do it, but I can sure understand why somebody would kill you and your kids. Prosecute them. Prosecute them. I'll do the prosecution. If they come up with a First Amendment defense, we'll blast it out of the water. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Linda, let's run vitals and measurements on Chairman Meow. And then
springtime is itchy skin time at Violet's Pet Clinic.
Oh no, he seems to be very uncomfortable.
She needs more allergy vets to scratch appointments off her list.
Okay, let me see if I can find someone to get some steroid cream for him.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Partly cloudy, high of 73 today. The wind out of the north at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear, maybe a little more patchy fog by morning. Our low 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80 with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. On Saturday night into Sunday, amounts won't be terribly heavy. Sunday, scattered showers, high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I'm fixing a hole. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-278. Now we go right to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
I've got a question for you, Matt. What do you think the chances are? What's your speculation that Josh Call grabs the bull by the horns and does what's necessary? Do you think we're hoping for something impossible, or do you think it's reality?
Here's my best take from what I've seen and people I've spoken to. He obviously has jurisdiction. I mean, the AG, the Attorney General of Michigan, is doing it. Frankly, Fannie Willis is doing it, and Fannie Willis is only a district attorney. One of the questions he would have, and then I'm going to answer your question, but one of the questions he would have is, does he lump in Ron Johnson and Robin Voss? And I will tell you, if I were Attorney General, I would. I would get them both, because Ron Johnson did more and worse than Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham was recommended for indictment by this grand jury, and he's a senator. Ron Johnson actually had the fake electors for Michigan, and now we know Wisconsin, in his pocket to feed them to Mike Pence. And the only thing that stopped it is Mike Pence's chief of staff wouldn't go through with it because they started to get cold feet. Robin Voss is the guy that set up the meeting. Some of these people that Fannie Willis is going after didn't even do as much as Robin Voss. I would go after all 10 fake electors, and Voss and Johnson, and if one or two of the fake electors flipped and provided testimony and basically went along with the prosecution, then maybe you give them a pass. That is a prosecution's decision. But your real question, and that's going to answer, is I do not think he is going to. There is not an investigation at all in his office right now. He has said in the past that that's something for the federal government. It is true that Jack Smith could indict them. Jack Smith could also indict 98 other people around the country. How much do you expect Jack Smith to do? How do you manage a case like that? Jack Smith is relying on other prosecutors to do stuff in their jurisdiction. The other thing I'll say, and then we're going back to the lines, is it's all well and good for me to talk about this and people to call me and talk about it. But a prosecution is a very, very complex, difficult thing. It's very similar to somebody saying, well, yeah, I think you should have a neurosurgeon take out that tumor in your head and do, and yeah, that takes a hell of a lot of work. That takes a lot of judgment. That takes a lot of preparation, a lot of preparation. So you don't just start it. And the reason that I'm saying I don't think he is going to prosecute them, Bill, is because it hasn't started yet. And at some point, a lot of this stuff goes back to 2020, 2021, and there is a 5-year statute of limitations. Thanks for calling. I'm going to take you an order. Do not hang up. Next on the line, Bob of Madison. Thanks for calling, Bob.
Wow. I'm kind of hoping, can you use RICO on somebody like Jim Jeffords and Donald Trump and other people interfering with these cases and attacking these judges and so forth? Can you use a RICO type thing and sweep in a bunch of these politicians that are raising the temperature?
Yeah, but here, you can, Bob. But here, you have to understand something. Fannie Willis is already going after Trump on RICO, and she can put in any evidence she wants. So anything that he's done, she can put in. Most prosecutors aren't going to double up. They're not going to play twosies. If she's doing it, great. Now, she's doing it for 19 people, for Pete's sake. 19! Jack Smith is doing it for Moby Dick, the great white whale, for Trump. That's who he's doing it for, and that's exactly right. Time for the other people to step up to the plate. Thanks a lot for calling. Jesse of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jesse?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if you covered this earlier and I just missed it, but someone else that should be swept up in this investigation for the Wisconsin fake electors is Scott Fitzgerald. He's the one who reserved the room in the Capitol on December 14th for the fake electors, and that puts him right in the middle of all this. And I would think that, you know, if he were to be subject to an inquiry by a grand jury, they might find other interesting things that he's linked to, but we know he's linked to that much. And I haven't heard his name brought up in this entire matter in quite some time, and I think it behooves us to keep his name in the spotlight.
Right. That's an excellent point. I have brought his name up before, but you're right, not recently. And obviously Johnson and Voss are more prominent in the news right now. So you're absolutely right. Reserving a room for the fake electors is more than some of the people Fannie Willis has gone after. And one of the things, remember I said, you want an investigation to start. It starts with either a John Doe or a grand jury investigation, subpoenaing them and bringing them in. That is what produces even more evidence. And that's not been done right now, and it should. And you're right, Scott Fitzgerald, Voss, and Ron Johnson, in addition to the fake electors. Thank you. Mark from the SAC, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Well, just to echo what the comment that was just made, I've also said that Fitzgerald needs to be dragged into all this. And I want to know who else was involved in this, because I don't think it was limited to Fitzgerald and Voss and the 10 fake electors. I imagine there's other people brought into this whole network of criminality and corruption here that were saying, well, you call this person up here, you know, maybe they'll do it for you. Because, you know, I do not think that the 10 fake electors that they dragged in were there, only 10 people that they called up to say, will you do this for us? Because there might have been people that said, no, I'm not going to do that. And that it just is, the scope of the corruption here is just
right.
Is probably staggering, because we got how many, you know, hundreds of people that may have been involved in this whole conspiracy in the first place, with Donald Trump as the main nexus point, but all these other little nexus points of corruption here. And
right.
We need to find out who those people were.
Right. And that's why you need a John Doe or a grand jury. You're absolutely right. We're going to a break, but I want everybody to keep that in mind. That's why you launch an investigation. You got to do it, and it hasn't been done yet. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. We'll get back to you right after the break.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres at the G20 summit in India says member nations must take leadership in the fight against climate change.
Assume leadership in two fronts. First, in reducing emissions. But second, in climate justice.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe says President Biden will have one-on-one talks with India's prime minister at the summit.
This is also a chance for these two leaders to perhaps commiserate and reinforce their growing concerns about China's dominance, not only here in Asia, but around the world.
Georgia's special purpose grand jury report has been released. It shows the grand jury recommended charges against 39 people. Only 19 of them were eventually charged. Why?
We can absolutely see why a district attorney looking at this would say, I don't want to move forward on an already historic and complicated case on conversations that a juror could say, it's just at the edge of the line, but it's not over it.
CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson, CBS News Brief.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire has received over $200,000 from the Freshwater Collaborative of Wisconsin to fund student research. The goal of the funding is to convince more students to go into the freshwater workforce by providing them with a better learning experience. Another goal of the funds is to teach students who don't end up in freshwater workforce to understand how their own actions and broader state policy decisions will affect the state's water supply. Wisconsin Democratic lawmakers are pushing a 10-bill package to make it easier for Wisconsin workers to form a union. The 10-bill package would ease requirements to qualify for union ratification and would require companies to recognize unions. It is not expected that the bills will advance to Governor Tony Evers' desk, however, as the legislature is controlled by a near-Republican supermajority. Democratic Representative Katrina Shanklin says union action has led to major wins for workers in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
On TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Todd or Billy, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind, Todd or Billy?
Hey, Matt. Good to talk to you. Hey, you know, civil disobedience is an honorable tool of democracy and citizenship. And, you know, I'm just wondering about, you know, what is the line between criminality and civil disobedience when it comes to these things? I know that in the past we've had Democrats who have objected to electors before and their elected officials. And I could see as a, you know, private citizen, you know, standing up and saying, you know, I don't believe that, you know, certain election was legitimate, and I proclaim myself an alternate elector in a symbolic fashion. So I am just kind of curious about what you think. How do you tell between what's civil disobedience and what's criminality?
Yeah, excellent question. And the jury, the actual petite jury, the regular jury, and Georgia is going to sort that out. But I'll give you some examples. The Pennsylvania fake electors are not being prosecuted. And the reason that they're not being prosecuted is they went, when they sent in their names, they said these are conditional only if a court overturns the vote in Pennsylvania, which is presently in litigation, something along, that's rough, that's not a direct quotation. In other words, they signaled exactly what you're saying. We contest the election, and if that's upheld by a court, then the court will say Trump should find his own electors, and that's us. That's a lot different from what happened in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, Fitzgerald sets it up. Voss is the guy. It's not listed on any marquee. They're told to keep quiet. Don't talk to the press. Don't tell anybody where they're going. Then they go there and they send a document off that they signed certifying that they're the electors. They do not say it's a conditional submission. So that's one example. The other, take a look at what happened in Georgia. Rudy Giuliani, they have video of these two women who are African-American taking tubs of mail-in ballots and then putting them into a carrier, and then they're counted. And there's no sound to it. So what Giuliani said and what Trump said is, these people forged these ballots, and look at them, they're just dumping them in. Well, that was Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, and it destroyed them. The FBI said they should shut down their business. They made leather purses for ladies. Didn't make a lot of money, but they liked doing it. They had to leave their house. There were death threats. People were coming around. That's criminal, okay? That's criminal. That isn't just saying I contest the election, and by the way, if I'm right, then I'm the elector, and if I'm wrong, I'm not the elector. That's a lot different. Thanks a lot for calling, Dr. Billy. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jean?
Hi, great show as usual, Matt. Do you remember when they changed the rules or guidelines when Governor Evers was elected and AG Call were elected? And there were some things where he had to get permission to either join in lawsuits, or there was something there, and I thought, what the devil? And I didn't follow up real good with note-taking and things. And I'm wondering if somehow they haven't hamstringed his ability to do an investigation like this. I wouldn't doubt it. And could he hire a special prosecutor if he can't do it himself, if he doesn't have that background? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, thanks, Jean. Yeah. Yeah, here's the answer to that. During lame duck, so Walker loses. He loses in November of 2018, but he's still governor till January. So there's basically almost 2 months. They all get together and cook it up in the parking lot. And they put in bills that basically transfer a lot of Evers' powers, or at least circumscribe them, basically to Voss and the legislature. They did the same thing to Call. It does not affect his ability to start a prosecution like this at all. But the same thing happened in North Carolina. The same thing happened in North Carolina. And the judge in North Carolina overruled it and said the Democrat won the governorship in that case. And you can't then during the lame duck make believe he didn't win the governorship. I don't know what happened up here. I followed it at the time. I was a candidate myself, remember, in 2018. I was not on the radio. I was not doing this kind of stuff. But back in 2018, I assumed there was litigation. Quite frankly, back then we had a Republican Supreme Court. In my view, it would have been better to have done federal litigation where you have lifetime appointments and they're not subject to political pressure. But for whatever reason, this sneaky lame duck stuff was approved, okay? Now, what it does with Josh Call as Attorney General, I think that it's still the case. He can't agree to a settlement in a civil case without the approval of the Assembly and the Senate. It'd have to be the approval of the legislature. What they were trying to do is sort of rein in, they have to review settlements, which is crazy. Most of them aren't lawyers. Josh Call is. He has a lot of good lawyers in his office. And they know what's a fair settlement. So that's one thing. Sometimes these settlements involve requirements to do certain things. to stop doing certain polluting things, that kind of thing. So, yes, they interfered, but no, it does not affect the Attorney General's ability to start any criminal prosecution. Thanks a lot for calling. I want to get to another important topic, but I want to mention one thing. It means a lot to me. I want to share it with you. You know, I've written several novels, Milwaukee Jihad, China Code. Well, I've just published this last week, and it went to the, believe it or not, it went to the top of new releases on Amazon briefly. It's a nonfiction called Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. Now, let me stop there. We have gotten to a point of division in this country where any mention of religion is divisive and any mention of religion seems to be partisan on issues and so forth. I think two things. One is that's a real pity. And number two, something like religion, even in a state, even in a country like ours with separation of church and state and no established religion, is still foundational in culture. So if you are interested in these kinds of issues, because as a lawyer, I represented several churches. I represented the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, and the Mormon Church. I was glad to do it. Wonderful people in all three churches. But in any event, I learned a lot, and I saw a lot. And I came up with what are good faith suggestions for some changes. Now, the second thing I will say is that right now, Christianity in this country is under attack. Evangelicals are attacked. This one's attacked. That one's attacked. I strongly believe in the separation of church and state. I strongly believe that in the non-establishment of religion, it can't be permitted to intrude in any respect in political dialogue, in my opinion. But how do you frame that? What does that mean? And as someone with fairly extensive experience in this field, I wrote this book. It's gotten very good reviews. So if you are interested in that subject, if you are interested in things that are much more abstract, like the existence of God, the divinity of Christ, all of that, I discuss that in some detail here. And I think you're going to come away with it realizing that we're all Americans. We're all human beings in every country. And let's take some of the fireworks out of this. Let's take some of the partisanship out of this. And with me, as a lifelong Democrat, former chairman of the party for two terms, you may find it interesting what I've written about these subjects. And so thank you. If you are interested, available wherever books are sold, easily to go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble and so forth. Let me tell you the subject that is really bothering me right now, over and above Trump, over and above this pathetic attempt to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. Marjorie Taylor Greene, and now she's a fairly small fish in this particular issue. She came out the other day and she said, quote, this is a quote, "I will shut down the government. I will shut it down if there is no vote to impeach Joe Biden. I'll shut it down." In other words, I will block any attempt that I can under the rules to provide money for our government. That's what she said. Now, unlike the Senate, one person can't do it, although you know my feelings about the Senate. This business of unanimous consent gives each senator, like Tuberville and people like Rand Paul, the right single-handedly to shut portions of our government down, our military, for instance. That's wrong. In the House, they don't quite have that, but here's the problem. Kevin McCarthy only has about a 5-vote majority. Mitch McConnell has blasted this idea. So there should not be an impeachment. We should have a budget. But there are about 15 of the Freedom Caucus who have said that they will really not vote for any appropriations for the U.S. government. Our budget expires September 30. Today is September 8th. We have 22 days. It requires 12 appropriation bills. One has been passed. You think that we can get this money across the finish line? Of course not, not by September 30. But there's a thing called a continuing resolution. 15 Republicans have said they will vote against the continuing resolution, which would basically move spending from the last year into the coming year, same amounts, at least it's something, unless they start an impeachment vote on Joe Biden, that we rip up the deal that McCarthy and Biden made several months ago on extending the debt limit and come in a lot lower than was agreed, and several other things. Now, we're not going to do that. That's blackmail. That's a gun to our head. We're not going to do that. So there are 15 votes that aren't there. Kevin McCarthy has said that he will not move any vote to the floor if there is opposition like that in his party. So what do you do? What do you do? The government has been shut down by the Republicans in the past. Ted Cruz did it one time. One time we were shut down for 45 days. What does that mean? Well, the government borrows and the government tries to, you know, put cellophane and scotch tape on things and hold it together. They laid a lot of people off. They didn't pay the Coast Guard. They're not going to pay the FBI. They're not going to pay secretaries on the Hill, that kind of thing. They say that they can continue to pay Social Security. I'm not convinced. These people are anarchists. These people, this is commie government. This is not American democracy. Put it to a vote. You know it'll pass because there's a lot of Republicans who are chicken, like Gallagher and Stile in this state. They'd be out of their mind to vote to shut down the government. But at the same time, they won't lift a finger to make sure it goes out to the floor. So here's the solution. There's a thing called the discharge petition. What's a discharge petition? It says the minority party, in other words, the Democrats, can put it out on the floor if they can get a majority of votes to do it. We have 213 Democratic votes. We have to get five Republicans. If he can get, Hakeem Jeffries can get five Republicans, then we put it out for a vote and it passes. It's already going to pass the Senate. They've all said it. Where are the five Republicans? Clowns? Are there five Republican clowns maybe in New York, California? Somewhere you're going to have your hat handed to you. How about in this state? How many of the clowns in this state in the Republican caucus will do it? Gallagher, are you listening? Probably not. You think you're a statesman? You're going to shut down the government? You're going to go along with it? Then you're coming around rubbing your hands and wringing, you know, rubbing your eyes and saying, I wish it hadn't happened. I did my best. You didn't do your best. You didn't do anything. You're not going to get Tiffany, somebody like that. This is a guy that would like to shut down the government. Fitzgerald the same way. Van Orden is totally out to lunch. This is the guy who brought a loaded gun into an Iowa airport. We have some pieces of work. We have some pieces of work. Are there even a couple in this state who will support a discharge petition and at least fund the government while we talk about it? Coming to a break, the lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Up to US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Partly cloudy, high of 73 today. The wind out of the north at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear, maybe a little more patchy fog by morning. Our low 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80 with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. On Saturday night into Sunday, amounts won't be terribly heavy. Sunday, scattered showers, high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Well, I won't back. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a development down in Georgia, another development. We've already talked about it some, but down in Georgia and also down in Florida, people are starting to flip on Trump. And that makes a lot of difference when it comes to an attorney general here in Wisconsin, Josh Quald, deciding whether to go after the fake electors. People are flipping. Here's what's happened. Mark Meadows has flipped on Trump. Mark Meadows has flipped on Trump. He's flipped on him in two places, flipped on him in Georgia, and he's flipped on him with Jack Smith. Mark Meadows was his chief of staff, Trump's chief of staff. He can give chapter and verse as to everything that Trump did, that he said, and there's nothing Trump can do about it. Trump is terrified by that. Brad Raffensperger down in Georgia. Now, when you say flip, Brad Raffensperger wasn't indicted, so he didn't have to, but he testified truthfully. And he said that Trump asked him to change the votes. There's a fellow named Musil Tavares down at Mar-a-Lago, the Mar-a-Lago case. He was the IT guy. He was the IT guy and initially was induced by Trump to lie and deny that Trump had tried to get him to hide documents or to get him out of there before the subpoena. He was represented by a Trump lawyer, a Trump paid lawyer. And this Trump-paid lawyer worked with him, just like Cassidy Hutchinson. She initially had a Trump-paid lawyer, and they got them to lie in their depositions. Well, somebody got to Usel Tavares and said, you're out of your mind, and they got him another lawyer, and he went and he flipped, and he's flipped on Trump. He's retracted his testimony that the Trump-paid lawyer had induced. The sad thing is, there's another guy named Walter Nauta. Nauta, it seems like a very good guy, a chief petty officer in the Navy from Guam. This is his big deal. He still has a Trump-paid lawyer, and he still got indicted because he's tried to stand by Trump and falsely state stuff in his testimony. There are three fake electors in Georgia that have flipped on Trump, and they are cooperating. The point is that when Fannie Willis or Jack Smith go in on these cases, they're going to have people who are right there in the room with Trump and can testify truthfully about what Trump said and what Trump did. That is a powerful effect on a jury, a really powerful effect on a jury. And in my judgment, if a prosecution were brought in Wisconsin right now, several of them would flip on Trump. There is evidence that at least two, I think, of the fake electors in Wisconsin testified in front of the grand jury before Jack Smith. And they so far have not been indicted. Now, Jack Smith hasn't indicted any fake elector. But if they have flipped, cooperation is something the prosecutors take into account on whether or not to give somebody a pass or not. I'll tell you, one other thing I want to get to this segment before the end of the show and before the weekend is Ukraine. The Ukrainians have been magnificent in standing up to this genocidal, absolutely genocidal, sadistic invasion. But there is a component of the latest shipment of aid to Ukraine that I want to highlight. I think it's fascinating. It's something that we talked about a long time ago that I've advocated and other people have advocated. It's $1 billion, and it has to do with a lot of weapons, has to do with defense systems and so forth. But buried in the $1 billion is $5 million of money that was confiscated from Russian oligarchs. And that's exactly the right thing to do. These Russian oligarchs with the big boats, all billionaires, all stolen from the Russian people, all supporting Putin, all supporting the invasion of Ukraine. Some of their assets were confiscated and sold. And what Biden has decided to do is send that money to Ukraine. I think he's doing it as a test case, and I think it's the right thing to do. We have in the banks in the West $300 billion, with a B, $300 billion in Russian money. Why did Russia put it with us? Because it's safe. They didn't. This is before the Ukraine thing. It was safe. They are thieves. I mean, by and large, that's the nature of the culture. So it was safe, made a little money, and they can always get to it, they thought. They invade Ukraine. They murder a lot of people. They interfere with our elections, 2016 and 2020. They are a culture based on mendacity, fraud, genocide, and sadism. That's all they've produced since the Russian Revolution, which is over 100 years ago. And I've advocated that we take that $300 billion and give it to Ukraine, keep it in American banks, and let them draw on it for weapons, planes, humanitarian assistance, and all that. Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, and I'm not the only one, by the way, who's advocated this, responds to that by saying, well, it's of doubtful legality. Oh, really? Suppose Hitler had $300 million in a bank in New York. We're not going to transfer that to partisans in Europe trying to fight the Nazis? Are you kidding me? This is no different. It really is no different. I have Janet Yellen, I think, though, is not a lawyer. So I have an idea for her. Why doesn't Merrick Garland bring a declaratory judgment action in a court in New York or D.C. saying that Putin has been designated a war criminal by the international court? They're a terror state committing genocide. Under the circumstances, that money should be used. We're not going to steal it. We're not going to take it ourselves. Should be used to remedy the victims, to give remedy to the victims of their genocide. And then you serve, as a term of art in law, you serve it on Putin. How do you do it? Well, you can mail it to him. You can post it. He'll see it. And then he has 30 days to show up in court. He's not going to show up in court. But he can have somebody from their UN delegation who has immunity show up in court and argue against it. The judge will listen to it. If I were the judge, I'd issue the declaratory judgment. It's okay. Then Putin can appeal to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. I can tell you how they'll rule. They'll say okay. Then he'll go up to the Supreme Court. Even the six tarantulas would not have the guts to stop that. You transfer that money to Ukraine and use it for humanitarian assistance and weapons. $300 billion. $300 billion. And Biden has already started it by 5 million of confiscated oligarch ill-gotten gains. Listen, this has been a great show. Great callers as always. Have a great weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn direct. We'll be back same time, same place Monday. I'm signing off for today.
My ground, and I won't back down. Stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.